So yes, so there's two things that I think that we can learn from this passage today. One of them is that the attitude that we need to have as followers of Jesus, that perseverance, that focus, that laser focus. I've noticed a couple of times people have used the word focus already this morning. That laser focus on God, and to not be put off by others, to seek and to knock and to ask and to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking, to keep on asking. Now, I'd like you to try and do a bit of laser focusing. So if you can hold your fingers and your thumbs up like that, anything like that, and then put them together, and you should have just like a little thing you can look through. Okay? Right, have a look at your neighbour. If you're looking in their ear, then, well, maybe they're not looking at you, but so when you're looking through and you're focused, you can't see all the other stuff around, can you? All you can see is that person. I can see Chris. Oh, yeah, I can see Judy. Judy's looking at me. And we're laser-focused. We're not being put off by everything else that's around us. And now, do you remember in the story in the Bible, Jesus, the event in the Bible that is accounted for, and it says about how Jesus walked on the water to the boat with the disciples in, and Peter got out of the boat, and he walked towards Jesus. And he was focused, wasn't he? He was focused on Jesus. And while he was focused on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water just like Jesus. As soon as he was distracted by the waves and all those other things, he started to sink. And Jesus reached out and pulled him up out of the waves. And that's the sort of focus. We need to not be distracted by those things. There are bad things in life that happen, and there are things that distract us, but we mustn't allow that to take our focus off God. I've just started reading a book. I've not got very far into it, but in chapter one, I was really challenged by these words. We were looking at chapter 9. This is on page 11, I think. Oh, I better put my glasses on so I can read this to you. And this is a challenge to me, and I hope it's a challenge to each one of us. Do you really know God as your Father? Are you growing in intimacy with God the Son? Do you love being filled with and transformed by God the Holy Spirit? That's a challenge to each one of us. And that's part of why Jesus is giving this teaching. The challenge is that we have to keep persevering. We were singing a song about oil in a lamp and batteries in a torch. The oil runs out. The batteries run low. You have to put new batteries in. You have to put more oil in. And that's where we need to be continually praying and asking God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. So our attitude, our focus is really important in the way that we interact and the way we focus on our Lord God. The second part, I think, or the second thing that I would emphasize in this passage is this passage tells us something about who God is, his goodness to us. He wants good things for us. In verse 12, it reminds us, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Now, youngsters, if you asked your dad for an Xbox games console and he gave you an egg box, that wouldn't quite work, would it? You'd feel a bit let down. You'd feel a bit let down. Your expectations would not have been met. But God's not like that. He's a generous God. I can remember a time when my son ordered a bottle of shampoo on the internet. And he said to me, oh, this is not shampoo. It was like shower gel. That was it. A bottle of shower gel. I don't need too much shampoo. But anyway, that's another story. Shower gel. And he said to me, oh, I got this at a bargain price. It's third the normal price. Anyway, the package arrived and he opened it up. And it was one of those miniature ones that you take away on holiday. It looked exactly the same, but in miniature. And he felt shortchanged. He felt that he had been diddled. God's not in God's not a diddler. He's not stingy. He's not stingy at all. He wants good for us. Now, I've got some good stuff in my egg box here. Does anybody like cracking eggs? I've got a bowl to crack them in. So does anybody fancy coming up and cracking an egg for me? Any of the young people? Anybody under the age of 65? Yes. Come on then, up you come, Elsa. Come on then, up you come, Nock. Dora, up you come. Right, there's four eggs. Now, these eggs won't go to waste. They're good eggs. Why are eggs good for us? Come on. Protein, good protein. And they make good omelettes. Yeah, they taste good, don't they? So do you want to crack an egg? Oh, get it in the bowl. That's it. I'm glad I put that plastic mat down there.
Where's the feed?
What's going on here? What's going on? Oh, it's all right. It's a hard-boiled egg. That's a hard. There's a 50. You had a 50-50 chance of getting a hard-boiled one or a regular one. But these eggs are good for you. And this is, it's in the story that we read today that Jesus told about an egg. Would we, if we asked for an egg, would we get a scorpion instead? No, we've got wonderful eggs, and these are going to make a lovely omelette or some scrambled egg later on. They won't go to waste. So you don't have to sit and peel them all, guys. You can just. You'll be here after my sermon's finished. I'm not going on that long. You can put them in the just put them in the box. Don't worry now, and you can go back to your seats. So thank you so much for helping me. The passage reminds us that as earthly fathers, we are not perfect. Reminds us we are not perfect, but we have a heavenly Father who isn't stingy, who is good. Far from stingy is our heavenly Father. Now I'd like you to listen to this passage that I have here. I'm reading it from the Message. It's from the book of Ephesians. Listen to this. How blessed is God, and what a blessing is he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. High places. Long before he'd laid down the earth's foundation, he had us in mind. Had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Lavish gift-giving. We have a generous God. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. What a generous God we have who gives us that abundant freedom. He wants the best for us, and he knows that we need to be filled. It's all quiet this morning down at Reading Festival. We can't hear them. I could hear them quite loudly last night in Tilehurst. 2 years ago, there was an artist performing at the Reading Festival called Billie Eilish. Some of the young people might know Billie Eilish. Some of the older people might have heard of Billie Eilish. And she sang a song on stage there called What Was I Made For? It's a song from the movie soundtrack, Barbie, from the movie Barbie. And she asked the question in that song, what was I made for? The last verse or the outro of the song, the lyrics go like this. Think I forgot to be happy. Something I'm not, but something I can be. Something I wait for, something I'm made for, something I'm made for. Billy, if you're listening, and anybody else who might feel that they're wondering what they were made for, why you're here, what your purpose is. Listen to this. Again, it's Paul writing to the Ephesians. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. That's you, that's me. He has a purpose for each one of us. And an indicator of God's generosity, he says to us in verse 13 of Luke 11, he says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" It's a good gift. It's to bless you. It's to encourage you, not to harm you. And if we really want to be part of that plan and fulfill the purpose that God has for us, we need to be guided and empowered by his Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at the well, and he talks to her about water, living water. And he says to her, "The water that I give you will be a spring welling up to eternal life, gushing." We need to be filled with that Spirit if we are to be guided and empowered by God. And Jesus, when he ascended, just before he ascended to heaven, he was on the Mount of Olives. And in Acts 1, it tells us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." If we expect to live a life empowered by God, we have to be open and focused and allow God to work in our hearts. And Paul encouraged the Ephesians to keep on being filled, because like those batteries I talked about a minute ago on the torches when we were singing, our batteries become depleted and we need refilling with the Holy Spirit to encourage us and to empower us. So God is a good Father, and his desire is to bless us. To bless us with the good gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that we might feel sometimes that we're in a bad place. We're struggling. But when we can know God's presence, everything else, the focus, goes away on anything else that's troubling us. And we can know God's comfort, his peace and his joy, if we focus, laser focus on him and allow his Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Maybe you're somebody who's never encountered this truth about Jesus, that he wants good for you, that he loves you, that he's generously given his life for you. I'd love to talk to you more about that. So please, if you'd like to know more about this generous God who's loving you, who's desiring for you to live out the life that he has planned for you, come and speak to me at the end, or come and speak to Claire or Jamie, our pastor. We'd love to share that with you. If you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, he encourages us to be filled. If you would like to be filled with the Spirit, please come after the service and we'd be more than happy to pray with you that you will be filled with the Spirit, that you would know God's peace, God's empowerment, God's guidance in your life. Knowing his presence just supersedes everything else that we can experience in this life. And knowing him and that closeness to him is what he desires. He desires for us to be close to him. He's just waiting for us to ask. He says, ask. He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You need to ask. You need to be focused. Just take a moment now to think about that. And if there's anything, maybe you'd just like to in your heart, just speak to the Lord and ask him to show you where your focus has been maybe distracted, diverted. Let his love encapsulate you, surround you. We're going to be singing our final song in a moment. Chris and the worship team are going to be leading us in that. It reminds us that Jesus is a good Father, that he's generous, that he loves us. And he demonstrated his love in Jesus. Jesus gave his life for us. God did not withhold his Son. He does not withhold the gift of his Spirit. This song reminds us of God's generosity. Ask.